With the increased casualisation of the workforce across Australia and the rise of the gig economy, a growing number of people now are creating their own business ventures. But of course, creating, designing, launching and maintaining one isn't easy. You can make bad business decisions, you can face ethical dilemmas, or you can misread market demands. There are, though, the pluses, the success stories that draw on innovation, clever strategy, and risks that pay off. Indigipreneur is the name of a new podcast that taps into the experiences of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander entrepreneurs. It's put out by Barayamal, which is an organisation that supports Indigenous Australian business. Dean Foley is the founder of Barayamal, and he's the host of the Indigipreneur podcast. Dean, what prompted your own interest in business?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me on the show, Amanda. It's a pleasure, a real honour, and just like to respectfully acknowledge the elders, leaders and everybody in the community throughout the country who are doing amazing work to make Australia better for everybody. So I come from a poor family, never knew, you know, you can become successful in business and be in a position to do what you want and also help others. It was only when I was in the Air Force, a friend gave me a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I read that and kind of opened my mind to the possibilities, which led me to Richard Branson, who I really admire, and for all his work he's done in business and helping out the community. So yeah, that's what led me into it.
Now, your business name, Barayamal, I hope I'm saying it correctly. How is it linked to entrepreneurship and business? Why did you choose that name?
Yeah, so the word Barayamal is Kamilaroi language, where I grew up, where my heritage is. And before the Europeans came over to Australia, they only knew of a white swan. And for us, that represents the...
So Barayamal means black swan in English.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct. And the reason why was because, when I left the Air Force, I was getting involved in the startup community. I just felt that some people, for example, one of the leaders in the startup ecosystem in Australia said that we shouldn't run a real accelerator program because they didn't believe there was enough quote-unquote successful entrepreneurs. So yeah, that's why I put the name, because we want to show the world that, hey, there are Indigenous entrepreneurs here building successful businesses and creating jobs for everybody in the community.
Well, let's bring into the conversation someone who's featured in your Indigipreneur podcast, Murray Saylor. Murray's the managing director of a management consultancy that works across the Asia Pacific. Now, Murray, as a well-established businessman, you're working across the public and private sectors. What advice do you now give Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people who are wanting to embark on a career in business, in being entrepreneurial?
Amanda, yeah, once again, look, thanks a lot for this opportunity. The three key aspects that I normally share with young brothers and sisters in our diversity sector, including the Indigenous sector, is around having a focus on your vision and self-reflection around their life journey and what it means and what they're trying to achieve around their entrepreneurial journey. The second point I just want to share is around clear alignment with what they're trying to achieve out of their entrepreneurial journey from a social and commercial perspective, and also what is the social and commercial value that they're wishing to achieve and aim for. And the big piece is around ensuring that they research, really do some deep diving. And there's a number of free tools that have been provided by various levels of government around business, and to make sure that you have a really meaningful and respectful mentor who's able to provide some guidance around some of the hit points and some of the opportunities and be that sounding board for you.
So Murray, who did you have a mentor who's influenced you in coming to this?
My mentor started with, so both from a social perspective, cultural perspective, as a Torres Strait Islander, my key was basically my elders. A grandfather of mine, his name was, in all respects, I'm mentioning his name, but Cook Saylor, up on Thursday Island, and we used to each afternoon and morning go out into the shallows around Thursday Island, and he never used to share about the negativity about life and what we were doing, but he used to share about our coexistence, how Mother Nature culture and how us as Torres Strait Islanders, Indigenous people, and as warriors and as leaders in our communities, the responsibility to family and what we can achieve in life. Outside of that, from a commercial perspective, key mentors have been other business leaders that have been, whether they be Indigenous or non-Indigenous. One of the key mentors for me is, my children. They gave me the reason and the strength to continue what I'm doing because I'm doing it, I believe, for the right reason and also my culture.
Here in Life Matters, it's Amanda Smith with you, along with Murray Saylor, who's the Managing Director of an Australian management consultancy, and Dean Foley, who's the host of Indigipreneur, which is a podcast that features Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander business people who are making their mark across the private and public sectors. Dean, what is the focus and purpose of your podcast?
So, yeah, the purpose or our mission is just to help change the narrative and create a positive change by sharing the many inspiring stories of Indigenous entrepreneurs throughout Australia. And the reason why is because, a fair bit of your audience probably know, there's a lot of negativity going on in the media. For example, according to a news story on the Conversation a couple of years ago, they analysed over 300 articles, and what they found was a majority of 73% published articles portrayed an extremely negative stories about Indigenous Australians relating to alcohol, petrol sniffing and violence, being some of the main common topics. So we just wanted to change the narrative, create a positive, every society has some negative aspects to it, but there's so much more positive stuff that's going on that isn't being reported a lot of the times.
All right. Now Murray Saylor, there are some tricky things to negotiate, I think. So, let me give you an example. Say you're a bright young Indigenous person, you get a job working for a mining company or an oil company that's based in a remote community. How do you navigate, I think, your progressing your career and corporate loyalty with a sort of cultural integrity, I suppose?
I suppose the first thing Amanda and shared very, very respectfully, and it's from a cultural perspective, is just ensuring that, once again, coming back to mentors and people that are support mechanisms, is surrounding yourself with people that are aligned with what you're trying to achieve, really clarifying what you're expecting out of your career opportunity and having a clear guideline around and communication with your manager and leaders around what you'd like to achieve. But I suppose one of the challenges that we have for our young people and also just within the whether you're a diversity sectors around going, look, what does it mean, dollar versus our cultural values, and how do I actually intersect both to actually create value, both one for me, but also for our community that we're trying to sustain?
Yeah, and that is, I imagine, very difficult, can be very difficult to align to walk, Murray.
Yeah, almost definitely. I suppose mainly with the remote community aspect, we've got a number of, and we know this pretty strongly, whether you're Indigenous or non-Indigenous, if you're coming from a remote community, say for example, and I'm talking in the context of the Torres Strait, it's human capital, human cultural intelligence that's going away to get their education. And sometimes because of the opportunity, they remain in a metropolitan area, and that's great. But also there's about both our urban environment, Indigenous communities and entrepreneurs and business sector, and also our remote communities, about understanding, look, you've got a value that's out there that you've created. It's about also, it's about that buy-in around how you take that human capital and that resource to help bring back culturally and sustain your own community, because we're so used to taking the upper road around, okay, we go away. So some of the challenges is sometimes, and it's just from my experience, it's not for everyone, that sometimes it's a challenge returning back to community because they feel like you're disjointed. But also the other pieces around going, look here, breaking through that cycle of misunderstanding is around going, let me take you on a journey, let me empower you, my brothers and sisters, my uncles and aunties, this is what I've got, and I'm still connected to culture, let me show you some value, we can actually look after ourselves.
And Dean Foley, as a young, proud Kamilaroi man, what role does culture play in business for you?
Massively. Trying to connect, everything we do at Barry Yamal with our values, to give back to community and help. It's extremely important to hold those close, and Yeah, I've been in a few situations already, which, you know, the dollar or hanging on to those cultural values, and we've chose the latter, just sticking true from a cultural perspective of, you know, what it means to me from the community I'm from.
And Murray, there are, of course, businesses and organisations that get set up in Indigenous communities that aren't run by those communities. How much of a problem do you see that as being?
I suppose the question, and I suppose it's really topical at the moment, and at the moment, Amanda, within the social enterprise and commercial enterprise business sector, because the Indigenous business sector is maturing at such a great rate based on various policies from the federal government and various other initiatives, even the corporate sector, which is really fantastic. The value for our communities, a lot of the policies are around empowerment, increasing the financial independence for individuals and control around being able to self-manage and empower. I think there's a disconnect there. And the disconnect is we have a number of the funding models is that if you add value back in a remote community, what we see out there in a number of instances, and there's a term that's used, is around black cladding.
Yeah, black cladding, right.
Yeah. So, and I suppose just for our for the sake of our listeners this, today, is around where you have around Indigenous businesses, there's a certification process around ownership. And within the supply nation model, the criteria is if you're certified or fully considered a certified, fully owned Indigenous business, if you're 51% and more owned, and 50-50. So there's all these different types of criteria, but you have an Indigenous owner, and then the capabilities being provided by a non-Indigenous partner, and most of the leverage and decision-making within that model lies with the non-Indigenous partner. So in remote communities, you have organizations, either NGOs, social enterprises, commercial opportunities that on the surface, it's all, they've ticked the right boxes. But when you look at service delivery and actually impact and what's actually happening, it's not being driven by an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander brother or sister.
Well, let's hope that that sort of disconnect becomes more of a connect. Thanks to people like you two, Murray Saylor, who runs Tuggai Management Consultants, and Dean Foley, who's the founder of Barayamal, a kind of Indigenous business accelerator. And Dean's also the host of the podcast Indigipreneur. And if you want to check it out, there's a link to that on the Life Matters website. Thanks to you both for joining us here in Life Matters.
Thank you.
Thank you.